Welcome to Gay Ambitions with your host, Paul Collington, featuring inspiring entrepreneurs and advocates sharing success stories and actionable career advice, bringing out the best in the business and the LGBT community.
Welcome to Gay Ambitions, where we bring out the best in business. This is Paul Collington, and I'm pleased to be sitting with John Roberts and Cindy and Christian in his downtown Denver office. John is a partner and portfolio manager for Denver Investments and a creator of the Workplace Equality Index, an exchange-traded fund that invests in publicly traded companies that support lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender equality in the workplace. John, thank you for being here with me today.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
To start, will you tell us a little bit about your career background, maybe how you made it into the finance world, and a brief overview of Denver Investments as a whole?
Sure. I've spent 25 years in the investment industry, starting with a large Wall Street firm straight out of college. So it's been my entire career. Literally moved from a college in Washington, D.C., where I went to George Washington University, back home to San Francisco in the late 80s, and moved to Denver in 92. Started here at Denver Investments in 1996, and been there ever since. We are Denver Investments is a money management firm, one office here in Denver. Trace our roots back to 1958, and we currently manage over $10 billion for a variety of clients in both stock and bond strategies. As a firm, we're very, very committed to workplace diversity and equality in the workplace. So the launching of the Workplace Equality Index and the investment strategies around it is very much in our roots.
Yeah, that's such a new idea too, Workplace Equality Index. Is there anything else like it, or is it this the one?
There really isn't anything else like it out there, and we were kind of shocked about that. We've been managing portfolios for LGBT-based or focused foundations for the last 15 years now. So this is not something new to us. We've been doing this for a long time. And it's just been recently that we've been able to kind of formally launch the strategy, and now clients, individual clients can access the strategy.
Yeah, well, I think you've been doing a great job promoting it. I saw it in The Advocate and some other sources when I was looking for it. So that's great PR. And so what draws you to the Workplace Equality Index? Do you consider yourself a straight ally of the LGBT community?
It's interesting. We like to, one likes to box people up.
Yeah.
My kids, when I was talking to them about the whole concept of ally, and I've got teenagers, they said, well, it should be just NA, as in not an asshole.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Either you believe in equality or you don't. And, I grew up as a military brat, and that is the great cultural melting pot.
I'm sure.
And so you get to know everybody from every background, and you're all thrown into the same little place in foreign countries. And so to me, equality was just something I grew up with. When I was in middle school and high school, I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, very active in drama and musical theater. And, you meet a lot of people in that environment, straight, gay. Quite honestly, I've never thought that somebody's sexual orientation had anything to do with who they are as a person.
Yeah. Do you think that experience would have been different if you weren't exposed to that through the military and through some of the diversity that you experienced?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a lot about who you know. Like, when people come around for gay marriage, or they come around for workplace equality, I feel like it starts with somebody that they know. They either have a friend or a relative or somebody that they're introduced to, and then they realize that just like everybody else.
It really is, to me, it's a product of who I am and my background, absolutely. But I also think I like to say it's being on the right side of history.
Totally.
Much like the civil rights movement.
Totally. So I understand Denver Investments is very experienced, a long history in investor research, you said, dating back to 1958. And finding ways to help people consider socially conscious investing options. So if people don't wish to own tobacco in their stocks, or they want to do something that's environmentally friendly to protect the earth, can you tell us a little bit about your expertise in socially conscious investing?
And sure. The foundations of Denver Investments rest on research. We have decades of experience tailoring portfolios to each individual client's preferences and their values. We manage a lot of money for a variety of foundations and endowments, and they all have different value sets that we have to invest to. There's no one catch-all socially responsible investment. One person's particular values aren't necessarily another's. Our initial conversations we had with our first client in the LGBT foundation space back in the late 90s really centered on how to invest with their values geared toward treating LGBT employees with dignity, respect, and equality, and also fulfill their obligation to provide the foundation with good investment returns.
Yeah, that was going to be my other question. Is there a trade-off between your values and making a profit?
Historically, there has been a bit of a trade-off. You can do one but not the other. Historically, socially responsible or environmentally sustainable governance-type strategies that a lot of SRI funds follow traditionally haven't performed as well as non-screen portfolios, and that is a bit of a generalization, but if you look at the data in aggregate, it shows that. And our clients, when we talk to them about social screening, we have to show them, and we can quantify, if you screen out these companies, this is the effect on the portfolio, historically. What we have found, though, is that in talking to the clients about what it is they're trying to do with their social screening, we can get a better handle on it and narrow it down. And very, very targeted screening has the ability to provide good performance.
Yeah, and so many companies are coming around these days that I feel like in the future there's going to be a lot more to choose from and maybe even more profitable options. And the Obama administration just announced that they're drafting an executive order to mandate workplace equality, which is pretty exciting. So from the beginning, where did the concept of workplace equality index come from? I know there's a rich history there, and this has been around for a while.
Yeah, it's a great story. It goes back to, like I say, the late 90s, and I think a lot of people listening may be familiar with the RSVP travel. Yeah, of RSVP vacations. And the founder, Kevin Mosier, was a visionary entrepreneur who long ago decided that and realized that he could make a business servicing the LGBT community. When Kevin passed away, his at that point considerable wealth was put into the Kevin Mosier Foundation, a private foundation focused on LGBT issues. And the trustees of the Kevin Mosier Foundation approached us in the late 90s to manage their assets, given a lot of the work that we've done on managing other foundations and screening. One of their wishes was that we only invest in companies that had progressive workplace equality policies toward their LGBT employees. And so we had the conversations about the trade-off between return and investing with values. And so we really created the strategy with the Mosier Foundation, our first client, back in the late 90s. Over time, as we added more clients and refined the strategy, it's become very clear what we're focused on. But if you go back to the 90s, the late 90s, you have to remember what it was like back then as we were starting the LGBT screen portfolios. I mean, there was Netscape was our browser, right? We used Lycos as a search engine.
AOL.
AOL. Yeah, there was nothing out there on the web. There was no human rights campaign, corporate equality index. It didn't exist. We created our own database of companies that had progressive workplace policies toward their LGBT employees. We did it by calling companies and asking the questions. And since then, we've seen a proliferation of databases and information, be it National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, HRC's Workplace or Corporate Equality Index, and a lot of the time, a lot of companies we talk to, we actually push them to join those and to get involved in those, because it's a lot easier if they're continuing to provide information to outside sources, we're not having to constantly verify. So it makes our job a lot easier looking at all the outside resources now. So we've come a long way, and our jobs become a lot easier. But we still find companies that don't opt into some of those indices that, you know, when we talk to them, we realize they have all the right policies in place. So we're more than happy to push companies that you need to go join National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. You need to go start opting into and filling out the surveys for a corporate equality index. So we're really advocating companies to go out there and get their name out there for having the right policies in place.
Yeah, that sounds like a big project in the beginning. Before you have a list of companies with 100% HRC score, you kind of set the stage for that. So Denver Investments did a lot of that research, or probably partnered with
different firms. We're a research company. Wow. We didn't partner with anybody. We just did it ourselves. And it meant picking up the phone and calling companies and talking to their investor relations contacts that would usually forward us to the human resources departments. But it was just a matter of doing research. And that's what we do here. We're a research-oriented firm. And so we're very, very accustomed to going out and doing the fundamental research.
Sounds like a huge project. So if Denver Investments were a publicly traded company, would you be eligible to be part of the Workplace Equality Index?
Yeah, absolutely. Our employment policies are very LGBT friendly. If we were a public company, we would qualify for the index. And that's a question we obviously asked ourselves before launching it.
Right.
and again, as I said earlier, this strategy, this investment strategy is very much part of our culture.
Yeah. So how is we talked a little bit about the historical performance of LGBT friendly companies. How is the index doing now compared to, let's say, the S&P benchmark or any of the other things you use to measure it?
You know, we have a 15-year history of managing portfolios that are comprised of LGBT-friendly companies based on their workplace policies. For the 10-year period ended March 31st, the Workplace Equality Index returned 9.96% per year. The S&P 500 returned 7.42% per year.
That's good.
For the past 10 years, the Workplace Equality Index has returned 1.5% more per year than the S&P 500 Index. And of course, past performance is no guarantee of future results, but what we have found, and one of the things that led us to really launch the index and market it as an investment strategy for people who value equality, is that these companies that are in our index, for the most part, have outperformed their peers that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of great research that's been done by, say, the Williams Institute and on workplace policies, but no one has really come out and said, here's the end result for companies. That companies that embrace equality will do better. I was just speaking at the Out on the Street conference back in New York a couple months ago, and I think it was Michael Corbett, the CEO of Citigroup, a company in the index, was talking about the need to embrace diversity. And his comment was, there's a war for talent out there. There's a war for talent among industries. And if you're a company that's going to shut your door to any segment of potential workers based on their religion, their skin color, their sexual identity, their sexual orientation, you're going to lose the battle.
Yeah.
You will lose that war. It's too competitive a workplace to say, we're going to make our company not a welcoming place for somebody. And on a purely capitalistic basis, it's interesting to hear the CEO of these major Wall Street firms talk about why diversity is so important to them. It's simply to find the best employees, regardless of who they are.
Nice. Can you talk a little bit about the team that helps advise the Workplace Equality Index? What kinds of research do they look at, and what factors do you consider before bringing one of these companies into your fund?
Sure. We have the index has a set criteria of metrics that companies have to conform to, and it's about 13 different criteria. Many of them are very, very familiar to the listeners, you know, you've got to have an EEO statement that publicly prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation, based on gender identity. All of your benefits have to be on parity for same-sex couples as they are for opposite-sex couples. We want companies to be visible and promoting in the outside outside LGBT organizations, much like Denver Investments is a member of Denver Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
We want companies to support their affinity groups. So there's a number of criteria we have, not just on the LGBT equality front, but also it's an investable index. So we have liquidity screens and minimum market caps, and we want the index to be tradable. We're money managers, and so we understand the need to have an index of companies that we can buy and sell without impacting the market. All the criteria are listed on our website, so anyone who's interested can go out and look at the criteria that we use.
Absolutely. And so who should be investing in the Workplace Equality Index? Maybe if you could give a little background for people who might be new to investing even, like what does it take to start investing in a fund like this and what kinds of people should be looking at it?
Sure. Well, when we created the investment strategy, it was designed to give broad stock market exposure to a foundation. And so we feel that the strategy is appropriate for any investor wanting to participate in the broad stock market, but in a way that aligns with their values, the values of treating all employees with dignity, respect, and equality. There are any number of investment vehicles one can use, and what we found and what the trustees of the Mosher Foundation found was that most big mutual funds and broad indices, one of the largest companies in them is ExxonMobil, a company that not once but twice has really kind of thumbed their nose at the LGBT community. They didn't want to own companies that didn't support their community. And so that's why we created the index. And that's, we think, anyone who believes in equality and treating every employee with respect and dignity should really look at what they own. And are you supporting companies that support you, or are you supporting companies that really aren't supporting you? And if you want to invest with values, according to your values, we think that the Workplace Equality Index is a good choice.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of great new things coming out. You mentioned the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, and actually interviewed Victoria Fulkerson, who's the vice president. And what I love about their group is they have the NGLCC certified businesses, which is probably another thing that you might look at.
That's one of the things we look at. Absolutely. We love that.
Yeah.
We love that data.
And they have to go through all this process in order to get that. So they have to be really, really serious about it. Member of the Denver Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. And then it actually, you know, puts them on an equal ground when applying for government contracts and other types of business opportunities. I think that that's great. From your experience, we talked a little bit about this, but do you find that equality-minded companies like those in the index perform better than others? Or is there any connection with that and how their stocks perform?
Absolutely there is. In the aggregate, the companies in the index have outperformed the broader stock markets over the past 1, 3, 5, and 10-year periods. And in terms of the connection or relationship on how their stocks perform, you know, as investment analysts, we dissect how returns are generated. And the term of art is called performance attribution. And when we look at the attribution over different time periods of the Workplace Equality Index returns, we see that the outperformance is generated by stock-specific outperformance. And really what that means is that the companies that we've selected that meet the criteria of workplace equality and having the right policies in place perform better than those that don't. There are you know, some of the outperformance can also be explained by the fact that the companies in the index tend to be a little bit smaller, and so you get a little bit of a small cap boost to the performance. But in the aggregate, the companies have outperformed their peers that haven't adopted these policies, and we think that's a powerful message for the business community. And I think, again, you know, the data that we have out there is unique in that it's actual portfolios that we've been running for 15 years, and we can see that the companies in our portfolios, in our index, that meet the criteria that we've set forth in terms of LGBT equality in their workplace policies are doing better than those that don't have those policies in place.
It's a good place to be.
If I'm a business, I'd be listening to that. I would take heed of that. Because in the end, business is all about return to the shareholders, return to the owners.
Yeah.
And as an owner of this company, we fully embrace that. And it's it really confirms our belief in workplace equality, that the outcomes are better. We can quantify companies do better when they embrace diversity and equality in the workplace.
Do you think there's a threshold, like what size of a company in order to... Like, because if you're a startup and you have 5 employees, you know, you're not going to have non-discrimination policies. But is it like once you get to that public stage and you have, you know, a lot of employees, that you think that makes a bigger difference?
No. I think every company needs to adopt these policies. I mean, we're not a public company. We're less than 100 people, but we have the policies in place. I think anybody who values diversity and equality should be looking at what the company's policies are. And as I stated earlier, if there's a war for talent out there, you have got to make your company attractive to every potential employee. And if I'm looking at joining a company, getting hired by a company, working for them, I'm going to look at those policies. And I think more and more younger generations want to work at places where they treat everyone equally. I think it's important, regardless of the size of your company, set the foundations for that culture, for those values in place at the founding of your company. It doesn't matter if you're 1, 5, 10, 90, or 500.
I agree. And I think we found your quote for the interview. We like to pull quotes out of the interviews, and that was awesome. And I think especially in the finance community, it's huge to have an accepting place where you feel like you can be yourself if you're LGBT or maybe some other sort of minority. Because I know when I was doing finance, I felt a little bit like it was an old boys conservative club. So it's nice to have companies that are appealing to all kinds of people and have that in line with their core values.
We have a great index advisory board, and this is a number of outside advisors to our index. They help us with stock selection, which we do once a year. Look at companies that can come into the index, and one of our advisory board members, Todd Sears, has really pushed for the finance community to embrace equality. And he founded an organization called Out Leadership. Out on the street and out in law and out in insurance. And so they have these verticals where they go to the finance and legal industries and talk to them about the value of inclusivity. And so we think that there are a lot of great things happening. And you're right, Wall Street used to be an old boys club, and that's changing, and that's great.
Yeah, totally. And we'll have to pull that link online and post it in with the interview when this goes live. That'll be great for people to learn about. So on a personal note, you do seem really enthusiastic about this index and the initiatives that you have going on. What excites you most about leading this effort?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. And you know, the data we now have, you know, after 15 years of managing portfolios comprised of LGBT-friendly companies, shows that companies that embrace equality provide better shareholder returns than those that don't. It's the kind of empirical proof that needs to be, you know, shouted out to the world. You know, when I speak to business owners or accountants or lawyers and point our track record out, they're stunned by it sometimes, and yet it makes all the sense in the world to a business person. Treat your employees, I mean all of them, with respect, and dignity, and equality, and you get better outcomes. I'm even more excited about the changes that are going to take place in the next couple of generations. You know, kids today, they don't really care about who you love. You know, going to a prom, they all go in groups. I have teenagers, like I said. You know, you go to a prom, and if there are same-sex couples in with a group of opposite-sex couples, it's not really that big a deal. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
That, it takes generations, much like the equal rights movement. You know, it takes generations. And I think the next generations are going to do amazing things in terms of gender equality, workplace equality, sexual orientation equality.
Yeah. And what do you think that'll look like for companies? Does it change dress code policies? Do they invest more in their employee resource groups and how to maximize the diversity? What do you think the change will look like in corporate America?
I think employees become more discerning about just what we were talking about, who they want to work for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this a company that my friends, all of my friends, would feel comfortable at? Do they value me as a person, regardless of what my skin color is, who I love, what religion I am? You know, a lot of companies talk the talk, but our criteria weed out the companies that don't walk the walk. And I think more and more, you know, the avalanche of information available to kids today and to younger generations are going to require companies to adopt these policies. Again, it's, you know, adopt or die.
Yeah. What have you learned about the LGBT community since you began this work? You're obviously out in the community with the Denver Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce with these different conferences and talking about this stuff. So what is something you've learned along the way?
Yeah, I love this question. I spent my formative years, and by formative years, I mean teens and 20s in San Francisco, right? So it's not like I learned about the LGBT community in the past 15 years,
yeah,
right?
We have that in common.
Yeah, you know, I was there in the late 80s. I had friends dying of AIDS in the late 80s. It was horrible. So to me, it's not something that I just learned about in doing this work. You know, to me, it's more about just what's happened, personally in the last 15 years of investing in companies with inclusive workplace policies. To me, equality goes far beyond just the LGBT community. I'm going to date myself, but I remember in college, getting a tear gassed and water cannoned, protesting against apartheid.
Oh my gosh.
And, now we can laugh about it, but it was a cultural revolution to demand companies get out of South Africa. The South African government was not going to change their apartheid policies, and what really got them to change was the protests that demanded colleges divest their endowments from companies that did business in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the divestiture movement, when companies and their policies were targeted by activists, that changed the apartheid policies, hit them in their pocketbooks. And it wasn't until, the big college and university endowments went to GE and Lockheed and all the companies that were doing business in South Africa and said, if you continue to do business there, we're going to sell your stock. Businesses quickly changed their policies, and that forced South Africa to change its apartheid policies because it couldn't live without all these companies providing it with the with products and services and expertise. And I think where LGBT equality is right now, right on the cusp of that.
Yeah.
And if people can, the Human Rights Campaign Corporate Equality Index is a great, great place to tell us where to shop. And shop at companies that my kids won't, go to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Think it's wrong.
Yeah.
And no, that doesn't make sense. And I think we know where to shop now. Shop at companies that treat you well. Now the investment dollars come into play. Invest in companies that are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And as I like to say, they're on the right side of history.
Yeah. It's great that we can quantify these things and we can have these lists because it really does make all the difference. Like, put your money where your mouth is. And that's what helps change along with the culture. I think that's fantastic. So one of the things we also like to do on this podcast is not just learn about LGBT, but also like personal success and tips that make folks more productive in their days and career advice and those types of things. So I'm wondering if you have any professional habits that you believe contribute to your success that you could share with others?
Work hard, play hard.
Work hard, play hard.
You know, I get up really early in the morning. I go to the gym. I was doing yoga this morning at 6 a.m. You know, stay active and, you know, enjoy life. Don't sweat the little things that you can't control. Stress will kill you. Try and de-stress. Do things like yoga. Get outside. Take a walk. And don't sweat the little things.
Nice. So playing for you is exercising. You enjoy it.
It's lots of things. Like I said, I did a lot of music in high school and musical theater and played in bands in college back in D.C. And so I play a lot of music. Get out, go to shows, go to theater, enjoy culture, go to museums. There's a lot of stuff out there. Even in a place like Denver, it's gotten so much better culturally since I moved here 22 years ago that there's a lot to see and a lot to do, and so I like to experience that, go to restaurants, entertain, really enjoy life, and try not to get too upset with the little things.
Yeah, Denver has a great restaurant scene.
Oh, it's a great restaurant scene. Like I said, I moved here in 1992 from San Francisco, and the culture shock was incredible because back 22 years ago, Denver had a few steakhouses.
Yeah, I'll bet. And back then, that was when Amendment 2 passed and a lot of the pains in the Denver LGBT community started. Yeah.
So don't sweat the little things. Enjoy life. Work hard and play hard.
Could you share a piece of, I'm not sure if Bob included this one, but could you share a piece of career advice maybe that you've learned along the way or that you've heard from somebody else? What has helped you in your career become successful?
Again, I think working hard, making those above me look brighter.
A good one.
You know, make those above you look brighter. Or, I'm sitting here next to a college intern who's much better at Microsoft Excel than I am. He makes me look better.
Nice.
And that's important, I think, especially early on, if you can, it's not fun to always spend your summers working, but it pays off. And be a voracious reader. That's the other thing. I am a voracious reader. I like to read, all sorts of things. I read everything. Typically, I'll read the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Economist. And I think somewhere between those three is a good triangulation of maybe what the real issues are, because everything has its bias. And trying to, look at the world and problems and situations through different optics. And if you can put yourself in other people's shoes and look at the world through their shoes, I think growing up overseas in Southeast Asia really led me to this, that if you can put yourself in other people's shoes, and look at the world through their shoes, it'll give you more a chance of finding the right solution. Which I think is, you alluded to it, Paul, that as our society changes and more people get to know somebody who's out, then it personalizes the whole issue. And if you can look at the world through their shoes, you have a different view on equality.
Yeah. I think it goes opposite too. Even straight people who haven't yet come around to the idea of LGBT issues. Like, I was listening to an interview with Hillary Clinton, and the interviewer was pressing her on her evolution of gay marriage. And she was like, honestly, like when I was growing up, it wasn't something that was ever an idea even, So it took a lot of time for some people to come around because it just was never something that was an actual policy until the advocates, until the activists kind of made it something that they were passionate about and that the public cared about. So I think you have to be conscious of all people's perspectives, even those who haven't come around yet in certain cases.
I think people who try and drag their feet on the issue are denying that this has been an issue now for close to 30 years.
Yeah. And she's a politician. Got to say what she's got to say. But I'm sure some people share that perspective. So for all of us building our own professional success stories, apart from your own website, what are some other internet resources or content you might recommend, whether it be an app or something that you use on your phone or a website that helps you organize your day better? What software?
Well, you're right. First, our website, workplaceequalityindex.com, has contact information, details how to invest in the index of quality-minded companies. That's the plug that I have to put in there. In terms of apps that that I use on a daily basis, I travel a lot on business. Love Uber, great app.
Oh, I love Uber.
Although every once in a while you're in a city where you're pushing the Uber app and they're not there yet, and that's always a head scratcher because you're waiting for it to come up. But the ability to access information on the fly now is such a great productivity enhancer. I used to have to travel with a laptop. I don't have to travel with a laptop anymore. I can travel with a tablet. And so the apps that I tend to use a lot, I tend to, like I say, look at media online, be it the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. I tend to organize, get yourself organized. And if it's Microsoft Money or Quicken, get your finances organized online.
Yeah.
It gives you a good way to tell where you're spending money, where you're saving money, save money in your 401k plan. Demand a quality-minded investments in your company's 401k plan. And so really at a very early age, if you can start saving, every dollar you save today means less time you have to work when you're in your 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Totally. Do you use any social media to find information, or is Denver Investments on social media at all?
The Workplace Quality Index has a LinkedIn page.
Okay.
We use LinkedIn to talk about what we're doing and where we're talking, where our advisory board members are talking, things that they're doing. Like I said, we've got a great advisory board. I mentioned Todd Sears. Deb Neiman founded an organization called Pride Planners, which is a national organization of LGBT-focused financial planners. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great tool for somebody to find a financial planner if they're looking for one. So there's a lot of great social media out there that people can embrace. Sometimes social media, again, I have two teenagers, so you can get sucked into social media, and it's hard to wade through what's useful and what's not there sometimes.
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah, we're using this tool called Hootsuite that helps us manage social media for us and a few clients that we've taken on, so we can put all of our Twitter feeds, all of our Facebook, all of our LinkedIn, all into one dashboard, and then we can search for different trends, and we can kind of manage it that way and try to filter out the things that we don't want to see. But it's definitely an ever-evolving platform, something new every day.
Oh, yeah. The technology industry, from a financial analyst perspective, the technology industry is one that is just fascinating. The change is coming at an ever-increasing pace, and it's one of the industries that historically has been overrepresented in our index, and we think that probably helps going forward, owning an investment that has a lot of investments in areas where you're seeing a lot of rapid change and growth, makes it an attractive investment strategy as well right now.
Absolutely. Do you have a favorite success quote or anything that you've picked up in the literature that you've been reading?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of great success quotes. One that comes to mind is something that Winston Churchill said. And he said, "Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts." Mm. And there are a lot of great leaders pushing for equality. I think that reminds me of the fact that, failure is not fatal. You just have to keep plugging along.
Yeah.
I don't think success is an end point. There's a journey in always striving to get better and always striving for success. There's always more work to be done. And I think a fatal few human flaws to think that if I just get here, I'm done.
Yeah.
We're never done.
Totally. I think that's so relevant, especially inequality, like you talk about. I know I was super devastated when Prop 8 came out and it passed, but look at the outrage it caused and look at the successes that we've had since then. So if we would have just stopped and gave up at that point, that would have not been good.
It's the courage to continue
yep.
that counts.
Totally awesome quote. So is there anything else that we haven't covered in this interview or anything else you want to say about the fund or career in general from your experience?
Yeah, I don't think so. Again, if listeners have more questions, workplaceequalityindex.com. You know, if they'd like to get an equality sticker, you know, they can shoot us an email there and we'd be happy to mail them out.
I have a few too, so you can tweet us at Gay Ambitions if you would like a workplace equality sticker as well. Thank you so much, John. It was a
Thank
pleasure.
You, Paul.
And I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks.